It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 74 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray.
So Carson, it's been a while since we've had a major X-Wing event. Oftentimes I look to those to see what list the top X-Wing players are bringing to help me kind of see what the metagame looks like on a global scale.
Yeah, the store championship season functions very differently than the regional or build-up to world season does, where there's a lot of X-Wing events happening almost every week for us. But the impact of each event is on a lot smaller scale. Meta changes much more iteratively. Oh, what were people playing last week? Okay, maybe I'll change it up this week. But it's not necessarily the best list winning. It's just who's adapting to the current weekly changes.
And we've definitely seen some changes in the local metagame, the biggest one being kind of an increase in the damage threshold for X-Wing. It's obviously been increasing over the past couple years, but with the release of some cards in the last couple waves, especially the cruise missile card in wave 11, we've seen that jump up another level.
Yeah, obviously getting a wave release mid-store champ season is going to shake things up. But we saw the push towards high damage even before then, and now cruise missile is going to take that a step farther.
So today we're going to focus on some list-building techniques and tips that you guys can use to help compensate for a high-damage metagame. All right, so to start out, we're going to kind of define what we mean by a high-damage metagame. What we're talking about here is... So the reason this came into our mind was the release of cruise missiles in Wave 11. You now have the potential with cruise missiles to deal a 5-dice ordnance attack that can be used on many different ship types.
Yeah, 5-dice ordnance attacks are nothing new. Miranda Donny spending her shield to shoot a homing missile is very similar to what a cruise missile can do, but that was only one ship in a list. Or you could use proton rockets, which if you have 3 agility can get you up to 5 dice, but that's only a range 1 attack, and you were limited to the type of ship that could take it, only ones that are really using 3 agility.
Yeah, so beforehand, in order to get to the 5-dice ordnance, it was either a homing missile on Miranda, because you needed her ability to add that extra die, or it was a proton rocket on a high-agility ship, and you had that range limitation of you needed to be in range 1. Now with cruise missiles, multiple ships are going to have access to these 5-dice ordnance attacks, so long as they can take a missile and they have at least a 4-speed maneuver.
So this is obviously going to make those 5-dice munitions a lot more prevalent. But those aren't the only threats you have to survive. There's also the old players of Dengar Pilot and Quick Draw, where they both get to attack multiple times in a turn. So that's a completely different threat. It's not just high dice, but also a weight of different attacks.
Yeah, because depending on the situation, Dengar or Quick Draw being able to attack multiple times in a round can push upwards of 8 damage if they're at the right range. And we still have persistent threats like Fen Rao. When Fen Rao gets into range 1, he can do some serious damage with those 5 attack dice.
So we've broken the strategies you want to employ in your list building for surviving these high damage attacks into 3 categories. The first one being building multiple defensive mods into your list.
So historically in X-Wing, we've been seeing an escalation in the power level. So back in the day, an average attack roll would be 2 to 3 dice with some kind of modification. We've seen that escalate now up to where it's not uncommon to see a 4 or 5 dice attack roll that's heavily modified. Beforehand, one of the main ways you'd handle these high dice roll, heavily modified attacks was by having a ship that could stack a lot of defensive tokens.
Yeah, so Soontir Fel, Karner Jax, the Inquisitor, these were all great players when Deadeye contracted scouts were shooting heavily modified 4-dice torpedoes. But the world's changed a little bit since then. Kevin Lines showed off Miranda with Sabine and what it could do to those aces. And since then, those bombers have gotten even more tools. We now have, with Wave 11, Captain Nim and Cad Bane and bomblet generators.
Yeah, so these ships that used to be able to stack focus tokens or focus and evade tokens, they usually depended on the Push the Limit upgrade card, which has been around for a very long time. They're getting pushed out, though, by these bomb effects, because most of the ships that can carry Push the Limit are very susceptible to bomb damage, where the tokens actually don't help them avoid the damage, and they can get wiped off the board before they have an opportunity to even shoot sometimes.
But there are other options where list builders can get comparable defensive modifications. Because Push the Limit with auto thrusters was good.
But in a lot of ways, we've moved beyond that now. some very popular upgrade cards that we've seen over the last several waves of X-Wing have been the Atani Mind Link card, of course, which we've talked about a lot on this show and has done very well in the competitive scene, allowing you to take a focus token on one of your ships, share that focus with other ships, and then you can stack additional tokens on top. So if you're like Asajj, you have access to an evade, now you have evade focus. Or if you're like Fen Rao, you have access to the Protectorate type, which adds an evade when you're in each other's arc at range one.
Right, so Fen at range one gets the four dice plus the title and can have two green dice modifications. That's great. He's still a risk at range 2 to 3, whereas Asajj, you have, you know, the Atani giving you that second green dice, so you get focus evade, plus the Lat's crew adding another evade on top of that. Plus she has the superpower of having 10 hit points, so even if you take some damage, it's still going to be a lot to chug through on top of her defensive tokens.
We've talked about Atani Mind Link and the Protector title and Lots Razi and Asajj a lot over the last couple months, so we're not going to spend too much time. I think they've proved themselves. But there are some other options that you can bring into your list building to help compensate for this high damage output. Two of them actually come from the Heroes of the Resistance expansion, where we see two different Rey cards that are actually pretty good at handling high damage, the Rey Pilot card as well as the Rey Crew card.
Right, so Rey Pilot, like Asajj, has high hit points to start with, so you have a little bit of a threshold for surviving both lots of attacks and high dice attacks. And then her ability, where you get the rerolls defensively if you have a ship in arc, is definitely very good against the Quick Draws and Dengars, where they're getting multiple attacks. And of course, the Fen crew that's going to add another green die really makes those hit points on the Falcon last a lot longer, and you can throw on cards like Countermeasures to survive those munition attacks if they're never shot at you, plus have an extra green dice for the cruise missile that you didn't take the target lock off from.
Now, Rey only gets to reroll those two blanks as long as she's keeping the attacking ships in arc, but she has some other assets, obviously, she can use. Kanan Jarrus allows her to clear a stress after she performs a white maneuver, which allows you to use that new Falcon title to flip around, take the stress, and then immediately clear it with Kanan Jarrus.
Yeah, of course, it's obviously better to not be shot at, so having mobility options on top of that helps for those scenarios where you're not able to dodge the arcs.
But I think one of the most important factors on the Rey Pilot card, though, is that this is persistent modification. So if three ships are in arc of you and they're all shooting at you, you're going to get this effect multiple times, which really ups the value of investing the points into this ship.
My other favorite defensive modification on Rey is Expertise, which is an offensive modification card where you get to turn focus results on your attack to hits. But I think of this as a defensive card because that means that frees up your focus token for defense.
Yeah, and that's something to keep in mind because having those tokens is still important, and Rey doesn't have a lot of good ways to stack multiple tokens. So being able to invest the points in that offense there so you can save your focus for defense is super valuable. But speaking of saving focus tokens, obviously the Rey crew card is also really excellent at that. So the Rey crew card reads, 2 points, crew, rebel only. At the start of the end phase, you may place one of your ship's focus tokens on this card. At the start of the combat phase, you may assign one of those tokens to your ship.
Now, this would obviously be great on the Rey Pilot, but unfortunately you can't because of the uniqueness. Can't put the same character out twice.
Tragic.
But Rey has some great places. The YT-2400, either on Dash or Lebo, paired with the Lone Wolf upgrade card, where you get to reroll your blanks, and now you have multiple focus a turn.
Well, and this is an ability you can kind of build up to, especially on a ship like Dash or Lebo, where you're not necessarily going to be rushing to engage your opponent. You might dance around a little bit, flying perpendicular to your opponent, trying to stay out of range as long as possible, using those rounds to stockpile focus tokens. Yes, obviously you can only trigger Rey's ability once at the start of combat, so you can only get one focus token from her, but having a stockpile of even just two or three can make a huge difference in the game long term.
Rey's also been great on Miranda, where she really doesn't like those munition strikes being shot at her, and every little bit of modification helps when you just have one green die. You kind of need as much defense as you can get, so Rey being able to help there really boosts her defensive output a lot.
Well, and the primary reason for that being is that you're able to now stack multiple focus tokens even on a ship that normally isn't able to get multiple focus tokens. So since you're already kind of dedicating that elite pilot talent slot on the YT-2400 to Lone Wolf, which is an excellent card in and of itself, but Rey allows you to, when you need to, get that double focus modification so you can tank a bunch of shots.
Yeah, and I mean, this same effect can be achieved with Recon Specialist, but I like Rey better because you have the opportunity to you know, go over debris fields or bump into a ship, and you still get at least one focus token. Whereas the recon specialist is kind of all in. You need to get that action to get any of the efficiency.
Yeah, and having the recon specialist obviously makes your ship very susceptible to blocking. If you get blocked, you take no actions, you get no tokens at all. Whereas if you have Ray, even if you get blocked, you can still at least get that one focus token, which sometimes can make all the difference. And to mention again, Lone Wolf is another really great card for a lot of the same reasons that having things like the Protectorate title or the Ray Pilot ability is very valuable in your defense.
Right, this is sort of the defensive predator. It's always working regardless of how many times you're being shot at. As long as you, of course, are meeting the conditions of having nobody near you.
Yeah, so Lone Wolf reads, 2-point elite pilot talent, it's unique. When attacking or defending, if there are no friendly ships at range 1 to 2, you may reroll one of your blank results. Like we said, this card is great on the YT-2400, but I've actually also used it to great effect on ships like Poe Dameron, who can get that defensive reroll, which is very valuable, then combined with cards like Auto Thrusters and Poe's ability to, if you have a focus, change a focus result to an evade without spending that focus, really adds on to your defense there, where you can turn suddenly things like a double blank roll into a double evade roll given the right circumstances.
All right, Tim, so if you were to put a list together right now focusing on stacking defensive modification, where would you end up?
So the list I've been looking at, and it's similar to some I've seen doing well at store championships, is a Lebo Poe Dameron build using the Pilot Skill 9 Poe Dameron. So this list has the Lebo YT-2400 pilot with Lone Wolf, Heavy Laser Cannon, and the Outrider title, giving it that Heavy Laser Cannon turret, but you can't shoot at range 1. The Ray crew card to get those focus tokens stockpiled, and then the Countermeasures modification, which is a single-use card, but when you use it at the start of combat, you can discard a target lock somebody has on you, and you get an extra agility die, which is super valuable, especially if you're packing a couple focus tokens from Ray. This, in combination with a Poe Dameron, the Pilot Skill 9 version, with Intensity, one of the new upgrade cards from Wave 11, R2-D2, Comm Relay, the Black 1 title, and Auto Thrusters, coming in at 98 points total for this list, I think is a pretty good way to counteract the high damage output metagame we're seeing.
So let's start out with that Lebo. I mean, you're using the Lone Wolf, the Ray we talked about. Those work very well together. And then you have, of course, high hit points on the 2400. Plus, Lebo's ability to mitigate some crit damage is all nice.
Lebo has the ability, when you are dealt a face-up damage card, draw one additional damage card, choose one to resolve, and discard the other. So in a lot of circumstances, you'll draw the two damage cards, and you can pick the one that's going to affect you far less, which can actually save your tail a lot of times.
Yeah, and then, of course, when you're getting those burst damage attacks coming at you, countermeasures to boost your defense. That really makes all the value of Ray and Lone Wolf work even harder. And then Poe's ability is basically stacked passive defense in of itself, where you're always getting focus modification.
Yeah, Poe's pilot ability reads, when attacking or defending, if you have a focus token, you may change one of your focus results to a hit or an evade result. And with the release of Wave 11, we now have the option to use the Intensity Elite Pilot Talent on Poe, which is a dual card, small ship only, coming in at 2 points. The front side says, after you perform a boost or barrel roll action, you may assign one focus or evade token to your ship, if you do flip this card. The reverse side says, Intensity Exhausted, at the end of the combat phase, you may spend one focus or evade token to flip this card. So on this Poe build, there's a lot of synergies going on here.
The downside of Intensity, where you have to save a focus token or evade token to flip it back over, is pretty mitigated with Poe, where you usually have that focus token left over at the end to pay back the intensity cost. And of course, intensity gives you access to that evade token to set up that comm relay, so you're regenning evade tokens and shields, which is pretty powerful.
Yeah, so there's some really great synergy there. Obviously, the comm relay lets you hold on to that evade token, so if you set up your game right, the first round you boost, take an evade from intensity and flip intensity over. Then the following round, you perform a focus action. At the end of that round, you spend that focus to flip intensity back over. Now you're sitting on an evade token thanks to comm relay, and you have access to intensity again if you need to get a focus token after a boost. There's also a lot of great synergy with the Black One title, which after you perform a booster barrel roll, you're able to shed a target lock from a friendly ship at range one, which could include yourself, because you're always considered to be a friendly ship at range one of yourself.
Yeah, so in a scenario where your opponent has two ships trying to shoot cruise missiles at your Poe, because you have a decent bid in Pilot Skill 9, you're probably going to be able to black one title, one of those target locks off. So they're not even going to get to fire one of their cruise missiles, which means with just your passive modifications, you might be able to survive their primary attack without taking any damage. And then with that 5-dice cruise missile coming at you, let's say, you have the potential to auto thrusters and posability, those 2 green dice into 2 evades, plus use your evade token from the comm relay. And then the following turn, you get to regen with R2-D2. So you're really only taking 1 damage from a 5-dice attack. You've really taken that max defensive threshold on an attack to kind of a whole new level for a 2-dice ship.
Well, and the important point being there is that your resources, the evade token, the shield coming back with R2-D2, those are renewable resources for you, whereas that missile, once it's fired, it's gone. Your opponent's not getting that back. So the more you can deny that damage from the missile, the less value your opponent's going to get out of that point investment. Hey, Radio TCX listeners. Time for a quick Patreon update. This week, we'd like to announce our prizes for the August raffle.
To be eligible for this raffle, you need to become a supporter on Patreon during the month of July.
The prizes for the August raffle are going to be 2 promo cards. First off, we have another Ray promo card from the 2017 World Championship. These are really sweet alt art Ray Pilot promo cards, and I really like the art style on this one, so it's a pretty cool prize to win. We'll also be giving away one of the, I guess I call it a multi-card. It came in a special tournament kit that went out from Fantasy Flight Games. It's got basically 2 upgrade cards on it and a really cool piece of art. It is an X-Wing, and the 2 upgrade cards are R2-D2 as well as integrated astromech, kind of tied into a single card. It's a landscape view. It's actually really sweet, and they're kind of hard to get if your store wasn't able to get one of these cool kits.
Yeah, so to be eligible for these prizes, you just need to be a supporter on Patreon by the end of July. Thank you to everyone who's been supporting the show so far. It really means a lot.
And now, back to the cast. So, Lone Wolf and Ray, obviously great cards, but we've talked a lot about this token and modification stacking, so I think we should move on to point 2, disrupting your opponent's offense.
Yeah, and that previous list definitely had some of it built in there. This is where instead of upping your defense, you're just lowering their offense. So that black one title or countermeasures, both dropping those target locks off, is a great example of this, where at base value, they're losing their offensive modification from the target lock. But it also has an opportunity where they're not even going to fire their munitions, where if they're not using Deadeye, those cruise missiles, homing missiles, torpedoes, they just get to sit around if you don't have that target lock to fire it.
Yeah, so there's some cool pilot cards in particular that can help interrupt your opponent's ability to use these missiles effectively or even use them at all.
Right, the fun doesn't just stop with countermeasures and black one. So one of the options I'm really excited about is Wes Jansen, who has the pilot ability of after you perform an attack, you may remove 1 focus, evade, or blue target lock token from the defender. And I think this is pretty exciting because it gets the best of both worlds on munitions. Either they need the target lock to fire their munition, or they're using Deadeye and they need the focus token to fire their munition, and you can choose which one of those to remove so they don't get to fire any munition at Wes.
And Wes Jansen is a T-65 X-Wing with an Elite Pilot Talent slot, and he comes in at Pilot Skill 8 normally, which means if you throw a Veteran Instincts Elite Pilot Talent card on there, you can increase that Pilot Skill by 2, getting him all the way up to 10, which is hard for your opponent to play around. So even if they have some Pilot Skill 9 ordnance coming at you, you can still strip those tokens before they fire.
If players are going more the Deadeye route, ships like Polyp Gadali or Old Tarok that get to remove those focus tokens are pretty powerful in denying that. Karner Jax can stop them from acquiring those focus tokens, but he can't stop the spending of focus tokens to fire munitions, which is actually still okay against Deadeye cruise missiles where they're not spending the focus token to fire it, but they would really like that focus token to modify it, and he'll still shut that down.
One of the problems, though, that Karner Jax and Old Tarok have is that they are pretty susceptible, again, to the bomb cards that we're seeing becoming more prevalent in the game. So there is a limitation there that you do have to consider.
When I was flying Asajj and Polyp, the things that I really liked was their abilities to not stop the munition, but to reduce its efficiency, where taking that focus token or using the stress to turn off expertise did a lot for my chances of them not maxing out the number of hits on those munitions. So when a Dengar only gets 3 hits on his torpedo shot, that gives Fenn a really good fighting chance to survive that. Whereas if he hits the maximum threshold, 3 dice, Fenn defense is definitely taking some damage. But, you know, if they only get 3 hits, then auto thrusters, focus Fenn has a pretty good chance of evading that.
And Carson, you've been flying Asajj for a little while, so I'm sure you're familiar with that startled look on your opponent's face when they roll their 4 dice torpedo or missile, get 4 hits, and you're just rolling 2 evade dice, but you get 2 focus results. You spend a focus, you spend an evade, and then you remove a stress to add an evade with lots, where you end up canceling all 4 of those damage.
Yeah, you get some unhappy phases at that point. But I'm usually pretty happy.
So, Carson, you're looking at a list right now that really pushes all these synergies together on the Rebel side, where you're trying to reduce the effectiveness or ability of your opponent to use these ordnance.
Yeah, I mean, so starting off with Wes Jansen, who I think has the best pilot ability for stopping these ordinances right now. So you have Veteran Instincts, Wes Jansen, and he's got the R2 Astromech and Integrated Astromech, just because you need some Integrated Astromech mods. And then you have good old Biggs Darklighter with the R4-D6 and Integrated Astromech, and our new Wookiee friend Lorik with Selflessness and Chopper because he's 0 points.
As a reminder, Lorik is the new Azatuk gunship with the pilot ability. When another friendly ship at range 1 is defending, you may spend 1 reinforced token. If you do, the defender adds 1 evade result. And the Selflessness card is a new elite pilot talent. Small ship only, rebel only, that reads, when a friendly ship at range 1 is hit by an attack, you may discard this card to suffer all uncancelled hit results instead of the target ship.
And then to finish it all off, we have Captain Rex coming in at 14 points with the great old suppressive fire condition ability to reduce your attacker's dice pool. So these all pair pretty well. Biggs and Lorik provide amazing defensive synergy. Your opponent has to fire at Biggs. R4-D6 reduces their number of hits down to 2 hits, and then you can selfless that over to Lorik when need be. Lorik also gets to spend that reinforced token to add an evade result to Biggs' attack when needed. Captain Rex is reducing the incoming fire in on Biggs, and usually the main weakness to the squad was munitions could get past Biggs, but Wes's ability to turn off those munitions when needed really gives that list some extra defense on top of that. And of course, just removing those focus or target locks to disrupt their modification means your opponent's going to have a really hard time pushing all the damage through on these ships.
Yeah, definitely a weak point of this list, if there is one, is that it doesn't have a very reliable offense. But kind of the goal when you're flying a list like this is you're just going to outlast your opponent, force them to split their damage up amongst all your ships. And meanwhile, you get in close and just drop a bunch of damage to start clearing ships off the board. So looking at our third category here for list building methods you want to use to try and mitigate this damage, we've talked about stacking modifications, we've talked about reducing the effectiveness of your opponent's shots, and we can really focus in on point 3, which is working around your opponent's ability to do this damage. What I've been flying recently is a quick draw list, which is one of these troublesome cards that has really high damage output, along with a Rear Admiral Chirinau Decimator. This ship's got 16 hull and 3 attack dice, as well as a primary weapon turret. It does have 0 agility dice, so typically if it gets shot at, it's going to take damage. One way I've been mitigating the problem of having these high damage output attacks, whether they come from ordnance or they come from ships like Dengar or other quick draws, is by denying opportunities for those abilities to trigger. My Chirinau comes in at pilot skill 10 because I've got Veteran Instinct on there to boost it by 2, and I've got an engine upgrade on there. So I'm moving very late in the activation cycle at pilot skill 10, which slips in just above Dengar at pilot skill 9 or a non-adaptability, non-Veteran Instinct quick draw at pilot skill 9, allowing me to move after them. So what I use is an opportunity to try and, in Dengar's case, get out of the primary firing arc. If you're out of Dengar's primary firing arc, Dengar doesn't get that second shot back on you, which lowers its damage output substantially.
Right, and obviously dodging the arc on munition ships is very valuable, where unless you're dealing with Nira Dauntless, they have to have you in their firing arc to be able to fire those munitions. So this is really the most ideal of all the 3 scenarios where the best defense is just not to be shot at. So having high mobility gives you those opportunities. I think your ideal list is going to incorporate elements of all of these. If we go back to that Poe Lebo build, the boost on Poe there is really going to give you opportunities to dodge those arcs, as well as the barrel roll on the Outrider gives you a lot of flexibility there. Plus, you have all those defensive modifications, and you have ways to mitigate your opponent's offense with countermeasures and the Black One title.
And I think one useful piece of advice we can pass on to our listeners is how to deal with Quick Draw. Quick Draw is becoming a very prevalent force, at least in our local metagame, and I think in metagames all around the country. One thing you need to consider, and this has been coming up for me in games, is sometimes you just can't shoot Quick Draw, where you need to get rid of those shields, but if Quick Draw is losing those shields and getting very heavily modified multiple attacks in a round, that's going to be problematic for you. And I found myself in very specific situations where, well, if I shoot at Quick Draw, Quick Draw is probably going to lose a shield and get a range one heavily modified attack back at me in addition to its normal primary weapon attack. It's not always a bad idea to not shoot in a round. You don't want to get into the habit of it, but really weigh the value. Look at the potential here. Am I just going to take one shield off a Quick Draw, and in return, I'm going to take 3 to 4 damage? That's not necessarily a good exchange.
Right. So if it's one of your ships that you're choosing not to shoot with, because its only target is Quick Draw, it's a pretty good choice not to shoot Quick Draw, because on average, he's going to have better modification on his shot back at you. And so you choosing not to shoot Quick Draw is also taking off Quick Draw's extra shot from the turn. And so you're really not behind on an attack that turn. But if you have, you know, 3 ships with Quick Draw in arc, then the cost for not shooting at Quick Draw is a little heavier.
Yeah, I guess the way I'd break it down is most simply is, if possible, shoot at Quick Draw, take those shields while Quick Draw doesn't have a chance to shoot back. That's pretty difficult. So if you are going to have to take a shot from Quick Draw after Quick Draw loses a shield, try to clear all those shields in a single turn so that Quick Draw's ability only triggers once. Because if Quick Draw's triggering 2 or even 3 times in a game, that's probably a game you're going to lose. So there you have it, some list-building components that you'll want to include in your list now that the metagame's starting to settle out into a very high-damage metagame. Hopefully you can use some of these list-building techniques or even some of these lists that we've recommended to up your game. Before we close out today, we do want to give a couple shout-outs to some Radio TCX fans who won some store championships. First off, I got to give a huge shout-out to Kirk Kadelka, who won the Level Up Games Store Championship in St. Paul, Minnesota. Me and Kirk played in the first round of Swiss, where he beat me, and then we also played in the top 4 game, where he beat me as well in a very, very close match. So a huge shout-out to Kirk. He was flying a Quick Draw, Colonel Vessery, and Omega Leader list. Congratulations, Kirk.
We also want to give a shout-out to Ryan Farmer, who won a store championship in Winnetka, California, at the Fire and Dice Game Store. Ryan was flying a Intensity Poe Dameron and a Dash Rendar.
Yeah, so congratulations, Ryan. I think it's really great, Carson, to see a couple of these players who, I think this is their very first store championship season. It's awesome to see them win an event like that.
Yeah, it's great to see new players doing well right off the bat, and it's really exciting to think about where their X-Wing careers will go from there.
Thank you guys so much for joining us on this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/radiotcx and like our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy listening to the show, please consider going on to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review, along with a comment saying what you like about the show and why other players might be interested in listening.
This week, we want to give a special shout out to Windstorm, who said the guys have stayed on topic and on point, no unnecessary downtime talking about their non-X-Wing selves.
Well, thank you, Windstorm, and thank you to everyone who's left us a review on iTunes. It really means a lot to us.
If you want to support the show directly, you can go on to patreon.com/radiotcx and become a supporter of the show today.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.